I don't think you put all your eggs in one basket. I think the chicken walked up to you and was like, hey, we would like to give you all these eggs. You took the chicken's word for it. And you were like,
then you tripped and crushed the basket.
Hey, we're the Personality Hires, and some of you might already know us for our personalities because we all met at work.
Whether you're working from home
or stuck in the office with that coworker you hate,
we make your 9-to-5 worth getting out of bed for.
Welcome to another episode of the Personality Hires.
Look at us. We look like we have some sort of makeshift setup going on here.
I love this studio, also known as your living room.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a lot to talk about this episode. People have been chomping at the bit to hear about your proposal story, Jackson. You just got engaged about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I guess maybe we should level set with everyone and tell everyone that we actually banked a couple of episodes when we still had access to the Virtual Studios, which is why we haven't made an actual update on things that have been happening to us since that show ended. And there's been a lot of people in my DMs, in the Personality Hires DMs, emails, in person, carrier pigeon, that have been like, what the hell happened with the proposal? How'd it go? Did it go well? What? Give me the details.
I actually got a message in a bottle. It washed up on the shores of my apartment.
Wow. Floating down the hooch?
Uh-huh. Floating down the hooch, straight on down to Roswell Road.
Man, where do I even begin with this? Because I feel like so much has happened since then, and it's only been a couple of weeks now?
It's like 2 weeks.
Right?
October, I think almost 2 weeks.
And it really does feel like we've been in this weird time warp where it just feels like this has been forever. Mm. I just wake up and I scream into the void and I go, I don't know what to do with my life. And then I have 17 things to do. And then by the time I blink, it's 6 p.m. and dark out.
Yep. Shout out to the time change, which was bad. Ill-timed for all of this. But honestly, I don't know about you guys. I've actually been kind of chomping at the bit to record with everyone again. It feels like it's been way too long. And we were on a cadence of recording once, sometimes twice a week, so that we can get a few episodes banked while we were setting all this stuff up. And so it's been a little while since we've all sat together and recorded.
Let's stop pushing things down the line. People want to hear about your engagement, how it went. Did she accept? Oh my God, did she say yes or no?
Okay, so obviously that Friday was an insane day because October 24th was the last day of the Burt Show, which was all of our day jobs and where all of us met and where all of us are Personality Hires. Hires.
Hierarchy. Wait, is that where hierarchy comes from?
No.
This is the question everyone's asked me since we were on our poor tour, aka the happy hour thing.
We'll get into later.
That we'll talk about later, where we met up with everyone throughout the Atlanta metropolitan area. People want to know, because you were talking about your engagement on air for like 3 months. Did she ever hear that you were planning to propose on October 24th? Because you were giving specifics. You weren't like, oh yeah, I'm going to propose soon. You were like, I am proposing the final day of the show.
It does not matter how many times I have level set this and told people she does not listen. She does not listen. She has no idea. They don't believe me and they don't believe her, or they think that she's just saying that she didn't listen when everyone's like, oh, well, if it was me, of course I would be nosy and maybe lie and go look. But legitimately, from the bottom of my heart, she had no clue. The only time that I almost got into some trouble with this was actually on the last day of the show when, the show went 2.5 hours longer than normal. It was a 6+ hour show that day. Everyone was saying their goodbyes. It was a very emotional and heartfelt day. And, we were all given a chance to have a little bit of open mic time to just say thank you to everybody that was there, right? And I was kind of trying to think of what I wanted to say and was a little bit nervous about it. But then I was also like feeling, pretty sentimental about it. And so I just randomly dropped like, oh, maybe to my girlfriend at the time, maybe you should listen to today, for once. And then midway through the show, I was like, oh my God, she's going to listen. And of course, someone or myself is going to say something that today is not only the last show, but it's also the day that I'm proposing. So I panicked and called her, and she was with her dad in the car on their way to go do something. I was like, hey, I'm feeling really stressed out about this and I don't want to add any extra pressure. Can you just not listen?
Oh my God.
And she was like, yeah, no problem. No problem at all. So she's in the car with her dad. And she was, because she opened with, I'm listening now. And then I was like, no, it's okay. Just turn it off. And so she turned it off and she never heard anything.
She's better than me because I would have turned up the volume.
What if she broke up with you for mixed signals?
She's like, just get on with it already.
This is the last straw.
I feel like that would be so out of character for you to be like, I'm stressed. Please don't listen. I would be listening so hard if someone prompted me with that.
Yeah, I know. But hey, she's loyal and she listened and she actually stopped listening.
How were you feeling emotionally that day? Because I know for me, like, it was just all sadness because it was the end. But this was also the start of a new chapter for you.
Yeah, I was definitely stressed, but I think it was overwhelming, honestly. I still to this day don't think I've fully processed everything. I just knew that that day was going to be one of the longest days ever. And honestly, after the show ended, I still had like a bunch of stuff to edit. And then I was panicking because there were like set up for the party and everything that night was like beginning later that afternoon. And so Rebecca, shout out to Rebecca, covered a bunch of the stuff that I had to do later in that afternoon, which honestly saved me because I had to haul ass to get home. But I was
in bad, by the way. I was in the office with you.
Thank you.
Katie and I were drinking champagne, having fun. Jackson was bad. Like, I've never seen him so, what's the word? Frazzled?
Yeah, people were popped. Champagne was popped. And normally I would be one to very much partake in that, but I didn't want to like slow myself and my brain down for the rest of the day. So I took it very easy on the champagne. And I was just trying to crank out the edit and get out of there. But it sucked too, because I was also trying to take in the fact that it was the last show. And like, I was a little bit conflicted, but yes, I was frazzled for sure.
You were frazzed.
Yeah. And so Mikey was an integral part of the proposal plan. And a couple days before, we're talking, and there's a post-Burt show party that Burt was hosting at his own house. And Mikey's like, oh, I didn't know that was going on. And he goes, I think I'm busy Friday night. And I looked at him and I was like, yeah, motherfucker, definitely going to be busy.
The amount of times I kept on forgetting it was happening because our parents all came to the station to watch the last show. And they're like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I think nothing. I think we're just going to chill. And Jackson's like, what are you talking about? You have an important job to do tonight.
Yeah. And I will also level set by saying the proposal was planned before I knew that the show was ending that day. So this was a strange coincidence, but also worked in my favor to where having the excuse of, which was my reason for getting my girlfriend and I out of the house, was because we were going to be going to some retirement party for Bert, right?
And also, if she notices you're a little weird emotionally, it's not like, oh, he's going to propose tonight. It's, well, his job just came to an end.
I can't remember who told me, but they were like, make that day feel all about you and how like upset and stressed out you are. That way it won't even be on her radar about potentially being about her, if that makes sense, which I think was genius, honestly. And so I get home and I'm moping around, but I'm really like, my heart's at 120 because I'm trying to figure out like logistics of stuff. And so I get home and I'm like trying to take a nap because I'm exhausted from the morning. But then, of course, I get a call from the front desk. Oh, someone's here to set up balloons. And I was like, shit, I forgot the balloon person was coming way earlier. So I have to go downstairs and do that. And bear in mind, my girlfriend's at the apartment. So I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs and pick up some packages.
And there's a clown just like standing there with the balloon animals. It's like, you're ready for me.
Yeah. Wait, so all the balloons are here, but your girlfriend, now fiance, is here. So what do you do with all these balloons?
So the balloons were getting set up. I rented out the lounge in my apartment. So the balloons were just going to be set up in there. I had rented out that space from 6:30 to like 11:30. And so I just took the balloon person to that room to set everything up.
Gotcha.
But this is at like 2 p.m. that this person's here. And so I also went down to the front desk and I was like, make sure you do not call her. And I was like, literally put a note on the screen that says, whenever anybody comes by, you only call me to let them in, because I gave them the whole lowdown about how this was a big surprise. So I went down, told her that I had packages to pick up, and then I let the balloon person in, and then I go back upstairs and I'm sitting there for like 20 minutes again, and then I get another call. Caterers are here. And then I'm like, I feel like I'm running out of, like, I don't have another excuse to like go downstairs, right? Like, it's getting like suspicious.
I have to go cry.
I gotta shit myself.
And so I she's in the other room, so she's not with me. And I'm like, maybe I can just sneak out. Like, I hope this doesn't take too long. So I grab this big box that's right by our front door and I go downstairs. And this box has, if you guys have seen our cover art, the flamethrower that I had is borrowed from one of my friends. And so I took that down and my excuse was going to be that like he was coming by to pick that up, which believable, whatever. So then I get downstairs. I let the caterers up. They're like going to set everything up. And then she texts me, hey, where are you? And I was like, oh, my buddy's picking up the flamethrower. I forgot I scheduled that for today. And of course, he's not here yet because it was taking me a while to let them up and they had a bunch of stuff to bring up.
Right? I'm kind of mad at you I'm kind of mad at your concierge for you because I feel like this is something that they could handle. You pay a lot of money in rent. True. It feels like they should just be able to buzz them in.
So that's the really annoying thing is that you need a key to get into the lounge. So, but the concierge won't do that. You have to buzz them in there. They will send them to the proper floor, but they can't let them into there for whatever
reason. Well, they have some attitudes down there. I'll be honest. They got some attitudes.
They did not want to let me in today. They were afraid.
Yeah, well, you're sketchy.
That's true.
A couple of them definitely do. But yeah, so that was my next excuse. And then finally, it's time. I told her that we were going to Nobu for dinner that night.
Nobu.
So I was also talking to Abby and I was like, she has these dresses that she wears to all these formal occasions, but I would say that she's worn them enough to where I thought it was maybe time that she needed something else. And I also wanted the proposal for her to be wearing something that she liked and maybe was new, you know? And I was like, how can I get her to possibly go shopping, you know? Mm. And so earlier in the week, I was like,
how can I possibly get my girlfriend to go shopping?
Well, she's not a big, like, go out and go shop.
Help me, please.
And everyone was basically like, there's no way you can say that without it sounding like obviously you're planning for something, mm-hmm. you know? But fortunately, her dad was in town again, completely coincidentally, the day before the proposal. This happened to work out perfectly. And she does like going shopping with her dad. So she was like, oh, like, and we were talking about how dinner was going to be at Nobu and all this stuff. And I was getting my clothes, my suit dry cleaned and all this. And she was like, man, maybe I should go shopping. And I was like, maybe you should. And this was on Wednesday. And she goes, yeah, like maybe I'll go. Oh, we don't have time tomorrow. And I was like, well, let's just go right now. And she was like, no, like maybe I'll go Friday morning or something like that, which she actually ended up doing. So she got a new outfit and everything. So we start, you know, getting ready. And the plan was for us to go to Mikey and Trin's for like a pregame before the party was supposed to start at 7:30 or whatever. And
before
also,
we were going to Nobu, fake Nobu,
all of my friends and her family and my family were supposed to be at our apartment at 6:30 sharp so that we don't accidentally run into anybody. So her and I leave at 5:45 and we go over to Mikey and Trin's and we have a pretty good time. We're there having a couple drinks, hanging out.
Playing the Wii
and just chilling. And then...
Well, let me interject here. Okay. Before you get carried away, okay. Here was the plan. We were going to Nobu, but Jackson forgot something at the apartment. So they have to come back here, in which case he's going to propose.
Wait, let me ask one question.
Sure.
So the con was that the retirement celebration was at Nobu.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Please ask any clarifying questions because it's like a little jumbled in my head. So whatever doesn't make sense.
So we were like, what did you forget? Like for the future, what are you going to forget that you have to run back to your apartment for? Like it can't be your wallet, whatever. So we got down to, you bought a bottle of like fancy whiskey for Bert. That's at least the page that we were on in my head. But maybe did something change for you?
Well, okay. So yes, that the plan was for us to say that we forgot Bert's gift and we were brainstorming and we said like a bottle of whiskey or something. But in the heat of the moment, I realized that I would have been much more forthright with having a gift and bringing it to like she would have known because anytime I ever have to bring anything anywhere, I'm like, hey, remind me. And so it would have been like a little bit weird for me to have gone out of my way for this thing without having it. And so when the time came of Mikey saying his line.
Yeah. By the way, you should have clued me in on that part.
I texted you.
Yeah. You texted me about that, but you didn't tell me that we changed the gift.
Oh, well, that didn't really matter.
It did because you jumped me.
Jackson changing the bit live on air. I'm shocked.
Yeah. And there was not really any room for failure here. So by the way, as I leave the apartment, of course, I text my sister because her boyfriend and my brother were the ones that were going to come up to my room and set everything up for the proposal itself. While my mom and my dad were handling all the guests that were coming in. And so I'm texting with my sister. She's giving me updates on how things are going and like where they're at. And so we're trying to have casual conversation, but I'm also texting. And then I'm also
oh, my
texting.
Gosh. Wait, I forgot about them. That was so bad on y'all's part.
The thing about having a plan is you have to give the people involved in the plan a heads up.
It was a spur of the moment thing where she's like, who are you texting so much? And he's like, Abby and Rebecca, we need to figure out whenever they're going to. Oh, wait, no, it was trying to figure out when we need to leave.
Yes, because she was like, oh, if this is like kind of a casual thing at the beginning before we eat, like, can we just show up like a little bit later? And I was was like, no, because we were on like a tight schedule, right? And I didn't want all the guests hanging out for way too long. And so that's when I texted in the group, what time is everyone getting there? And then immediately, Rebecca, Abby, even Katie, I think, are like, get to what?
Where?
What are you talking about? Where?
We're not
where?
Doing anything.
So then I'm like, just play along, please. And then still a question mark. What? What's happening?
And then I sent really a bad word to Rebecca.
You certainly did.
What did you say to Rebecca?
Can't say.
And then I was like deleting text too. And I was like, oh, it looks like people are getting there like right at 7:30. So that was like my cue in. Okay.
I came back around.
Both of you guys did.
All right. Now cover my flub.
Okay. So we're all talking. And of course, somehow the conversation of IUDs comes up. For whatever reason, this just happens to follow us. I feel like we talk about these kind of things all the time.
I was about to say, we talk about IUDs way too much.
Yeah. It's important.
They are important. And so Mikey's girlfriend starts bringing up IUDs. And then we're talking about, oh, like my dad, who's a gynecologist, would know the answer to this. And Mikey perks up and goes, oh, we'll just ask your dad tonight.
I didn't even know that I did this until the thing was over.
And Kate instantly goes, he's not going to be there tonight. Why would he be there tonight? And I was just like, what are you talking about? And then it just kind of died, but I was mortified.
But how did I not even catch on after you guys said that?
He's la-di-da, bowling like, and weed.
No,
and
but like after the engagement.
You know, like when you get down on one knee and ask your girlfriend to marry you?
Your dad's going to be there.
That's what it sounded like. So finally, I get the go-ahead from my sister that they're all ready to go. And so I send Mikey a text, like, say the line. And so Mikey goes, hey, did you bring Bert's gift or whatever? And then I don't know how my acting was in this moment.
It was bad. Jackson says, wait, the gift. Hand on the head. And then Kate goes, what gift? What are you talking about? And I go, yeah, Jackson. Like, he got Bert a gift. And then she said, what is it? Jackson said, it's a letter and something.
So,
and I was like, what are you doing right now?
Okay, let me defend myself here. Okay, I was in my head, I had made the executive call of changing it from a bottle of whiskey to Cassie was going to be late to the party that night. So she gave me this gift to give to Bert.
But once again, when you have somebody in on the plan, you have to let them in. But also, the plan.
You have no idea. My brain was going like was steaming. Like you could have cooked an egg on my head based on how much my brain was working this
you
day.
You made it so convoluted, though. Cassie gave me a gift. I can't know what it is. She's going to be late. I'm going to give it to him. It's like,
it was wrapped,
whoa.
You know, like, it was a wrapped gift. And she was, and then so of course my girlfriend looks at me and she's like, oh, it's also in character of me to forget something like this. So she looks at me bummed out and she's like, really? What gift? Why didn't you tell me? Where was it? And I was like, it's in my backpack. Like Cassie gave it to me. And she's like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, look at the time. We better go now. So we jump in an Uber and I was like, all right, here's the plan. We're going to call an Uber to my place. And then Kate and I are going to run upstairs. Mikey, you and your girlfriend, you guys hang out here in the lobby and then we're good to go.
So, we hit a couple of speed bumps on that one,
so
too.
We're in the Uber on the way back. And then my girlfriend goes, where is it in your backpack? I'll just go up and get it.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
Because she thought that I just made a stop on the Uber. And then the final destination was Nobu. Mm. When in actuality, of course, I only called it one way to our apartment.
I saved this one.
Did you?
I did. I said, no, we're going to stop this Uber and then Trin and I are going to pick up the Uber on the way there because you guys are always buying our Ubers. That was a good out.
Nicely done, Mikey.
Good out. Because then she asked the qualifier of like, oh, did you not make this a stop? And I said, no, this is just a one way. And she's like, okay, cool.
Why did she want to go up and be like, you stay in the Uber?
Because like,
because obviously, why can't you just run up and get it? She could stay in the car.
I think she just wanted me to like, you know, she felt bad for putting Mikey and Trin into this whole thing.
And she should. It was bad.
And so that was like her way of being like, oh, you hang out with them while I go up and do this, right? Even though it would take 2 seconds. So we get to the apartment and then I'm like, all right, let's just go run up. And so we're in the elevator and she's like, why would she give you this gift to give? And I was like,
Getting angry.
She's like getting like a little bit upset. And she's like, you know, she just gave it to me. I don't know what it even is. I just put it in my backpack. Obviously it's been a long day. Like, I'm sorry. So we get up to the room. And I had like small ideas of what my sister and everyone had planned to like put into our apartment, but I didn't know how they were actually going to execute it. I told her, I trust that you have a good eye for this. Just make it look really good and special. And so we opened the door and And my girlfriend is ready to get in there and go back downstairs. So she like pushes me aside as we open the door. And instantly I know that this is all set up perfectly because there's these fairy string lights that are already above us, like on the ceiling. And then she walks in and then she turns and looks down the hallway, which looks like out towards where our like kitchen area is. And she just looks at me and she goes, no, no. And then instantly starts crying. And I was like, hi, I didn't forget a gift. And she was like, couldn't even like muster the words or anything.
So you're looking down the hall. There's the kitchen. And then right now you have like your dining room table and then a big window that looks out on a Piedmont park.
Exactly. And so there were these fairy string lights that were strung up all down the hallway and then into like the kitchen area where this big window is. And the table that's here right now was moved. They moved it over here. So this was all open. And then it was lined with those tea candles, the electric ones, obviously, because fire hazard, as well as a bunch of rose petals, fake rose petals all over the ground, and a huge balloon arch that kind of like framed this big window. And she's like in complete disbelief. And honestly, at this point, I didn't feel nervous at all. I really felt excited and maybe a little bit of relief that it, like, we had finally gotten to this point of like, after so much deliberation and planning and everything, I was like, I felt truly actually present then. It was not like the most stressful thing ever for me. And to be honest, I didn't really fully prepare what I was going to say either. I knew that I would be able to get the words out and just kind of speak from the heart. And so I took her over to like the balloon arch that framed it so perfectly. And of course, like my brother and sister had a camera set up. Like they left one of their phones.
AI camera. It was like moving around on its own. What? They showed me a video. They had two cameras going. I think one was a phone. One was a little guy like moving around tracking you guys around the apartment.
I guess so. And by the way, my cats are nowhere to be found and they always come up and greet us. So I could tell that there was some trauma that was done when they brought all the decorations in. I take her over to it and I'm holding her hand and I had the ring in my pocket this entire time, in my jacket pocket. And then I got down on one knee and then I said what I had to say. And
what'd you say?
I don't have to get into exactly what I said.
Well, just like sum it up. Give us the AI generated summary.
He went
the spark notes.
He went.
That has to be a weird reference I don't get to.
Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice. But yeah, I was down on a knee for no longer than, I don't know, 90 seconds or so. And then of course she says yes, and she's still like bawling crying. And it was really sweet, of course. And then she's like, "Where are the boys? Like our cats?" And I was like, wait, where are the cats? Because the whole thing, too, was that my sister got them these bandanas that said, like, my owners just got engaged or something. And I thought they were going to run up to us when we opened the door. And I totally forgot about it because then when I looked up on the counter, they were just laying there. So I was like, oh, I'm sure that they had a war with the cats trying to get those on them. So we're looking for them and they're like traumatized and whatever. And then I'm like, there's one more surprise to this. And I was like, I'm sorry I couldn't get anyone to come, like family to come in for this. But I do have I know you didn't want a photographer for this, but I did hire a photographer to take pictures with us at the lounge downstairs.
And Mikey and Trent are still there. So it's your dream night.
And she's like, what? Like, okay, fine. And so we exit the apartment and then we're heading down the elevator and I'm texting my sister, hey, we're coming down. And then she's like, why'd you get like a photographer? And I was like, we got to get down there quick because she's charging by the hour. Like she's been there for a while. And then we walk outside. And of course, there her whole family, a bunch of her friends, my friends, everybody's there and saying like, congratulations, surprise. They've all got champagne poured. And then we had ourselves a party.
Big night.
And it was, I mean, honestly, the pictures, everything just the whole night was as perfect as it possibly could have gone. And I felt very, very strongly about it.
I took the worst video of all time of you guys entering the party because I was trying to take a video over everyone's heads and I didn't realize they'd already walked in. So I'm still just panning around the room. It's the worst thing that I've ever done.
And so everyone that I've talked, all the DMs that I've gotten after I posted some pictures, they really want to see a close up of the ring. Is that something that I like, should share?
Yes, absolutely. The girls want to see it.
Okay.
Everybody does that. Like you find the ring and you zoom. And it's not like a hater thing. Like no one's zooming on it to hate on it. Like we just want to know what kind of ring would she want?
Is it not a bragging thing, though?
Yeah, that's what I
thought. That's what it feels like.
It's a curiosity thing, especially with like lab-grown diamonds becoming so much more affordable. I feel like it's less braggadocious.
And then people don't know what you did for the ring or how or anything. Like, it's not your space to ask how could you afford that or whatever else. So, okay, that's fair. We'll post a picture of it then.
Yeah, and you should also at some point like tell the story of why you picked out that ring, and girls love that shit.
Okay, well, if you guys want to hear more of like the really behind the scenes and the weed stuff, we can go through that. But honestly, I want to thank Mikey for being a very important part of this and sticking with the plan. Our improv that we've done for a while has panned out and worked nicely. Ooh,
we actually did forget one part, is that Trin was beyond nervous about this. And a couple days before, she legitimately said the words to me, "Do you think we should write a script?"
No. Please, God, no.
All three of us made little mistakes at my place. She was like, "Well, Abby said she was going to get there late." And I looked at her and I'm like, "Why on earth would you have that information? There's no reason for you to know that."
Also, that was what we were trying to get us not to do, was go later. We were trying to be there exactly on time. And I was like, "Stop it, please, guys."
That's really funny.
No worries. Congratulations. That was fun. I like scamming.
Scheming?
I like scheming.
This is going to sound so cheesy, but I swear I've been like seeing her in a different light afterwards. Because in my head, I was like, how could this possibly be any different after we do this? We've already talked about us getting engaged and married. Like, why would my view of you change at all afterwards? But I genuinely feel differently about it. And now that I get to call her my fiance, like it does feel more special.
Oh, it's French. It makes it special.
Fiance.
I'm fiance. I'm fianced. You're betrothed.
Do you feel like an asshole when you say the word fiance? Because I was just talking to my brother and his fiance about this. And she's like, yeah, I feel so like pompous when I call him my fiance. Yeah.
It does make me feel better than everyone, though.
Oh, it's my fiance.
She yelled at me the other day. I accidentally called her his girlfriend.
She's like, excuse me.
I'm his fiance.
And I thought it was going to take some time to get used to, but it's like just rolled off the tongue nicely. Oh. And I feel very proud about it. And I'm very happy to have done that. And so, yeah, after we all celebrated in that lounge area, we had a bartender and music was playing and everyone was mingling and having a great time. We had food, cake, everything. And then we all went and played darts at Flight Club afterwards, where I rented a place out. That was also super
fun. That was insane, yeah.
Katie had a PR connection that hooked us up with these like a bunch of free drinks and these fancy little just engaged like hoppers.
Like a hopper drink.
Cute. Yeah.
Can you not invite Abby or Rebecca to your wedding too, so I can feel special again?
You don't have to invite me. I'm going to be somewhere.
You guys are going to show up no matter what.
Your wedding is going to be so sick. I'm going to be like, please, I'll be an usher.
You want to be a flower girl?
I'll be a flower girl.
We can both be flower girls. That's cute. We'll walk down the like aisle, walk like holding hands.
We have in-laws now.
My God.
Yeah.
So lame.
I know. It's a bummer.
Whenever. We'll sit in the back row and drink all the champagne.
We're going to be like those old Muppets sitting in the balcony. We're going to heckle your wedding.
There's a whole lot of assumptions that you guys are going to be there.
Why would we not be there?
I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Let's see how far this podcast goes. Thank you, everyone, for the kind words, the well wishes. It took me a solid week to get through the amount of DMs that I got. I have never had that much engagement on anything.
Engagement!
And so I finally got to everyone saying thank you. And there's the story. But if you want any more details, let me know and we can do maybe a bonus episode.
Pay him $5. Beautifully said, Jackson.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, you know who I did have to correct about her being your fiance is someone at the Poor Tour.
The Poor Tour.
They said, "Is that Jackson's girlfriend?" I said, "No, it's his fiance."
Fiance.
All right. So Poor Tour. Oh my God. What a whirlwind of a week have we had.
Grueling 5 days.
It was grueling because you made it grueling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like you go there to drink. You got to have fun. The people want to drink with you. It's like, just have fun.
Let's reset this. Abby, what is the Poor Tour?
So if you missed the Poor Tour, it was our 5-day tour across metropolitan Atlanta area. We started in Alpharetta at Up on the Roof, and these were basically just a series of happy hours for us to meet you guys.
They're meet and greets.
That's how I thought that they
would. That sounds more pompous.
That sounds so pompous. Yeah.
That's exactly what they were. No. Those come and hang out and talk to us and meet and greet.
Happy hour hangout.
Happy hour.
Happy hour. Sure. To me, it felt more like a hangout. To me, a meet and greet is like, let's set up a step and repeat. Let's take a photo.
Yeah, I agree.
Let's have two minutes of shallow conversation.
Signing almost.
Yeah, like 2 minutes of shallow conversation. Whereas like we were there for 2 hours with everybody, like really gabbing.
Okay.
Alpharetta was so low key. It was our first night. We had, you know, like maybe 6 or 7 people there. And I feel like every single day just got bigger.
It really did.
Because I thought the lowest attending day would be Roswell, because I don't know why, but I put Alpharetta and Roswell kind of in the same category. But Alpharetta had a completely different demographic than Roswell. I feel like Roswell, we were hanging out with a bunch of people our age.
All of the nights were very different. We did Alpharetta, Roswell, Buckhead, Midtown, and then Midtown Beltline. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Mikey and I were heading to Alpharetta on the first day, and I was like, please let there be 0 people or more than 4. Yeah. You know, I did not want like 1 person to show up, and then that would have felt really, really bad, honestly.
Oh, and it's just like us interviewing them.
Yeah,
exactly. Them.
And so I wasn't nervous, but I was like, what are we going to do? I don't know. I think I was overthinking.
So I think Jackson put me on to that overthinking of what are we going to do? We need an activity. And then Abby yelled at me for that. But on the first night, I drew pictures for everyone. On the second night, I did a card trick, and then I didn't do anything else.
Because you realize all you had to do was just talk to people. Literally, yeah, it was all fun.
If I had more gimmicks, I would have done it, but I just couldn't think of anything else good to do.
You could have kept drawing.
Yeah. People were disappointed that I didn't have some more pictures to draw.
The people showed up. They were ready to get their caricature drawn.
So the first day happens, and, you know, it was good. We had a smaller turnout than the rest of the week, but like, what, 6 people?
People. That's the good part about it. They were solid.
Nobody wants to go out on a Monday, but also, like, I felt like because it wasn't overwhelming, it kind of helped us just kind of get our feet in the water as to what we were going to be doing. And then Roswell, so many people showed up to where it was like, oh my God. And then we kind of had like a more of a breather day for Buckhead.
Well, who was the surprise guest on Tuesday that I had no idea. No, none of us.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, we didn't know.
I had done my my podcast recording with Bert and Amanda that day, and he mentioned that they were both going to come, and I was like, yeah, sure, you guys are coming, fully thinking they were going to back out. And then all of a sudden we're like 10 minutes in, and Bert's like, hey guys. I'm like, you actually
yeah,
came?
I had no idea.
So we had special guests on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Romeo came Wednesday, and then also Friday as well.
And then Cassie showed up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I swore when Bert showed up, it seemed like people suddenly started popping out of the woodwork. And I was like, they're not here for the poor tour. They saw Bert and were like, I got to come sit down.
You think they were able to play it off that cool? They were like, oh, whoa, that you guys are here.
That is 100% what it was, I think. Because at Alpharetta, he got his whole meal comped at like up on the roof because of this one waitress or bartender that was there. She was there that night, Bert. He told this story a couple of weeks ago that he was at Up on the Roof, and he was like, oh yeah, I got recognized like crazy. They comped my meal. And that's one of the reasons why I suggested Up on the Roof, because I'm like, oh, they're friends of the Bert Show. So that same waitress / bartender was there because she had said something. She was like, oh my God, I love Bert. I love this whole, like, you know, I love the whole show. And I'm like, so I had like belly up to the bar, and I'm like thinking she's going to be so excited to like say hi and chat. She did not give 2 fucks. She was like, do you have a tab, open or close? And I was like, a tab? What's a tab?
Yeah, I also felt weird because we told none of these restaurants that we were coming beforehand. A few of them were tipped off because we, you know, added them on social media, but it's hard to plan for something like this because I didn't know if 3 or 30 people were going to show up. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to do that.
But that's the best call, because if you give these people a heads up, they're going to try to charge you for a private event. That would have been nonsense. We went in there and caused some chaos. I think that's fun.
I honestly think that it went as beautifully as it could have gone, because after Monday, I was like, all right, that was like a fun time. Like, let's keep the ball rolling. Then, of course, with Bert showing up, there was a lot of people that were there. And we had a problem from Monday through Thursday. It wasn't as much of a problem on Friday, of people that showed up and wanted to come say hi, but they just sat outside and just were looking at us, waiting for some sort of like, I don't know, like for us to like wave them over or something, but
I get it.
No, they said it's an intimidating environment, because if you listen to us every single day on your commute to work, even though we do not consider ourselves like celebrities or public figures, you kind of become.
Which we're not.
We're not.
I think it's even different than that.
No, but it's like going up to the popular kid at school. You know what I mean? Like, it's not intimidating, but you feel like it might be.
I get where you're coming from, but I think it's just weird to approach someone at a dinner table. I think it's more of that. It's not that they're like, oh, it's the guy.
I agree. Yeah. I think it is hard to, especially when we're already sitting there kind of like weird gabbing with each other.
Yeah.
We needed a sign. A sign would have been great. I don't know what it would have said.
That would have been embarrassing. That would have been embarrassing for all the normal people at these restaurants who are like, who do they think they are?
Then they can come sit down and they can learn about us and we can learn about them. Maybe we get new listeners.
Also, I think you're thinking of too many other people. Like, I never once was considering other people and like being embarrassing towards that. Well, if we had a sign that said, come up and say hi, like, I've been fine, I think.
I'm pretty considerate.
I also think it was a little bit confusing what we were doing sometimes because I heard from a few people that the graphic we had, beautiful graphic, lovely graphic, it showed where we were going. But some people were like, is there tickets? Do we have a bit? Is it a show?
Yeah.
Is it just a hangout? So maybe people showing up weren't too clued in about exactly what was going on.
And maybe that led into why more and more people started showing up is because as the week went on, we made it more and more clear as to what exactly you were getting yourself into.
It's literally just a happy hour.
My cousin texted me on Thursday and said, is this a comedy show? And I was like, I don't do comedy shows. What are you talking about? What would I be doing?
We're not even funny.
But yeah, there were so many instances of people that finally would come over and be like, oh, we've just been sitting there and wanted to come up and say hi. And I'm like, I've noticed you guys sitting there for the last hour. And I kept on trying to make like subtle eye contact about trying to be inviting, but I kept on telling them there's nothing that would be more embarrassing than for me to go up to you and be like,
are you for us?
For tour? You should come and say hi, because I could never recover if they were like, what are you talking about?
On Friday, I mastered it because I would walk away from the table and do a lap, and then someone, you walk by and they say, Mikey. And I'm like, I got you. And then I say, come on over. And
sorry, that's so the tea, though. Every time someone was like waiting kind of around, I was like, oh, I thought that they were here for us, but they're actually just here for the brewery. They were always just waiting. I could always tell when they just were a little bit too afraid to sit down for a moment.
It's tough to like barge into a conversation because then you sort of feel like now all this attention is on me. And especially if you can tell there's no like place to sit, then it's kind of like, okay, I'm gonna say hi to everybody and then I'm just gonna like linger. I get
that's tough.
That's why I kept on trying to like stand up at towards the edge of the table so that it would look a little bit more like friendly. Not everyone had like a seat that they were sitting at, you know. But you know, it was definitely kind of hard in that sense. But then once they came up, everyone was just so friendly and so nice.
100%. But it just served as another reminder to me that I am horrible at conversations, because I'd start talking to someone who really liked me, and by the end of the conversation they're like, how do I never talk to this guy again?
You're overthinking.
No, I got a really sweet text from one of my friends that showed up on the Midtown day. She was like, I'm so happy that Mikey's on this podcast. He's so sweet and personable.
Cyprus or Beltline?
Cyprus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm the worst talker. Then it's Mikey.
Yeah.
Then it's Abby, actually. And then it's Jackson.
Jackson's fantastic. Jackson, it's insane.
Number one schmoozer ever.
But Jackson is big.
He's the loudest fucking person I've ever.
Oh, I'm always there.
We were at Cyprus. I think Trin went to take Reggie home. She said up from our apartment, she could still hear Jackson's voice.
I have a very loud voice.
Kyle and I were walking in towards like, I think it was Cyprus, and we heard, and we were like, is that fucking Jackson? It was like a beam of light directing us to where to go.
It's hard for me to get lost, and it's easy to find me because I am a very loud person.
So genuine.
You're so personable. The people love you.
You're a genuine guy.
No, it's a lot of schmoozing. I'm definitely big on that front. But I've also realized that I'm much better at talking to people that are like older than me and like in between like me and my parents' age than I am with people my age.
Oh, yeah. 100.
Really?
No, I was the oldest guy that showed up was like 70. I talked to him for like an hour. I loved that guy.
That makes sense for you, though.
He had a sunscreen thing, and he whipped it out and was pouring vodka out of it. I was like, this is the coolest guy I've ever met. Yeah. I want him to be my dad.
He was super cool.
Adopt me.
The whole week was a whirlwind, and Mikey and I didn't quite ever learn our lesson about how to pace ourselves, because like Monday I drove, so I took it pretty easy, and then Tuesday
Monday I went hardish, but it was fine.
Tuesday
was bad. News bangers.
Yeah, we really got after it.
It was supposed to be I picked a brewery for a reason.
That's a fun brewery. I like that place.
It was. Yes. And there was a couple that was there hanging out with us that also wanted to keep the party going after everyone left.
They were really cool.
They were so fun.
They were super fun.
And we are so easy to convince for more beer.
Yeah.
That's like both of our downfalls. Like, oh, yeah.
Katie
drink?
Was also there that night, too. Katie was having herself a time. Yeah. By the end of the night, right before I left, she was having this peanut butter espresso martini. And she's like, Abby, you need to try this drink.
Yeah, it was super fun. But then what happened at the end of the night, Mikey?
Okay, this is pretty bad.
Oh, God. I know this story.
We're there at like 10:30. Me and Jackson got there at 5:30.
Yeah. Brewery's so, shutting down at this point. Yeah, closing the garage doors.
5 hours now. And I'm not used to drinking these high alcohol IPAs, so I was just drinking them like Miller Lite. Big mistake. I went to the bathroom. I peed in the toilet, dropped my phone in the toilet.
No.
In this brewery bathroom, stop. Which was not clean.
Stop.
It was soaking wet, and things were getting pretty fuzzy around this point. I don't know what the cleanup process that I did on it was, but I was just like, all right, well, just went back to the table and kept on drinking. But
and then what happened later that night?
Oh, no.
I got home and I was bad. Trin was, I was driving her crazy. She had to work the next day and I got home and I'm like, ah, just talking like a caveman. And I plug my phone in and it won't charge. It actually comes up with a message that says like, it's too wet to charge right now.
So then what?
Oh, no.
And then stop. This part is really bad. I'm kind of so far disconnected from dropping my phone in the toilet and I'm more focused on my phone won't charge. So I didn't really think about pee or anything, but I tried to suck the water out of the, charging port, and it didn't work, for the record.
That's like not even only your pee.
That's so gross.
That's communal pee. That's
so gross. And Trin started yelling at me. And I'm like, what? There's water in the phone. I need to charge the phone. I got to go to work in the morning.
You think to get a paper towel, maybe stick it up there to like absorb
the
urine?
No, you should have seen the state that this guy was in.
He's, yeah, tell him what I was doing.
Because like I was definitely pretty drunk, but like I still had my wits about me. This guy was slurring his words so, I mean, like that is your like go-to tell of if you're like definitely really drunk.
It's my worst weakness is that like before I'm even actually out of my mind, I'm going like, what? Wait, what? What?
You're like, I said that. Like it sounds all, it's like an exaggerated drunk person that you'd see on TV. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's bad. That's why that bar that we were drinking at has kicked me out before because I was slurring my words so bad.
They cut you off.
Yeah, they kicked me out. Mm.
Yeah, so Wednesday was an absolute nightmare.
One of the worst days of my life. It was so bad.
So
yeah, I was shocked because I was the last one standing on Wednesday. I was like, it's 11 p.m. Why am I the only personality hire still here?
I wanted to go home. So, wait, you stayed till 11?
I stayed till like 10:30, 11.
You're out there for a while.
That was Fido?
Yeah.
Okay. Fido. Cool. Yeah, that's my neighborhood.
Fido, I liked the place. My one complaint about this is it was so dark. I don't know if it's a great place to meet up with people. It's like just dark as hell.
It was kind of contained, so it was difficult. I think like everywhere else was very open, so you could kind of like go wherever you wanted. Great soccer bar, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's a great game bar because that's where it's a UF bar.
Mm.
And then Cypress was...
We're back in the South.
Honestly, like, I think that was my favorite night of the whole week. There's something about, like, I don't know why. It just
I love Cypress.
Cypress was a good time.
We were also back in the saddle.
Yeah.
And I overdid it again.
Oh, boy.
You guys.
Big time.
Is it becoming a pattern?
I overdid it. It wasn't that bad. This guy.
I noticed from the beginning is that I was drinking the same beer that you were, but faster. Yeah. And I should have taken that as a sign to slow it down.
We also had to take a shot, too.
Yeah, you guys were bullying me Monday and Tuesday. Like, you're not drinking. Why aren't you drinking? Why do you have a drink? It's because I knew every single day you got to get progressively a little bit drunker. So Monday and Tuesday, I was real chill. Had a couple of sips of something. Wednesday got a little shiesty. Thursday up the ante a little bit, and then by Friday I was ordering Shake Shack at 2 a.m.
So Wednesday and Friday were some of the worst days of my life.
It was tough, but shout out to every single person that showed up to the pour tour. Seriously, I was honestly kind of blown away by all the support, and we had a ton of fun doing it. So if you want more stuff like that, we have been brainstorming a ton recently, and so we're always open to do more things like
that. Yeah, what should we do? We should have the people tell us. What are you interested in? What would you want to like come do with us, an activity or just baseball, like hanging out again?
I will say that the people that came out were so incredibly cool too. I didn't know what to expect because we've never met our listeners. They were like absolutely normal, cool people.
Every single person from start to finish was genuinely very cool and very fun.
That's what I thought was so cool, was how diverse everybody who showed up come, because obviously you're going to like expect like some younger women, but there were like older couples, every race, creed. It was amazing to see everybody, and everyone's so happy and cool, and like it was so fun to chat.
Yeah, and then listeners were getting along with each other and also talking on the side. So I don't know. It felt very cool to be able to foster that kind of environment for everyone. Well, yeah, please don't be shy. Let us know what we should do. Shoot us a DM. Email us at
personalityhirespodcast@gmail.com. Yes. Or you can DM us on the Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Personality Hires Podcast.
So Rebecca and I are pitting each other against ourselves. We are competing for the same job.
Yeah, not by choice.
You guys have been teasing this, and I don't think I've asked, but I have no idea what this is.
I also have no idea.
I don't think we should give specifics.
Okay.
But what I will say is this is all relatively new. So I got a call about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, from a job, and it was like very out of nowhere. Like I got like a Facebook message or something random. They're like, hey, we're considering you for this, blah, 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 blah. Can we have a chat? So I hop on this call and I really didn't look much into it because it was just kind of coming out of nowhere. It was like literally through like a Facebook message. So I hop on this call and I'm like just answering basic questions about me, bloop, 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 bloop. I get off the call and then I get a text from Tommy and it's grouped me in with Rebecca, and it was him filling us in on this job. He's like, yeah, blah, 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 is recommending both you and Rebecca for bloop, 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 bloop job in bloop, 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 bloop city. And I'm
okay. I know you're being vague, but can we get like a tiny bit more detail?
We can
that was mostly bloop.
It's for radio. It's a on-air personality job.
It's an on-air personality job in a city that is not Atlanta on a show.
You guys were both recommended for
the job. We're both recommended for it, but I had just gotten off the phone. I didn't realize Rebecca was even in the loop on this because it was an on-air job. So I'm like talking about the on-air possibilities, and then I get off the phone and I immediately see the text from Tommy that me and Rebecca are up for this, and I go, oh my God, this is literally the last thing I want. I do not want to compete with Rebecca for a job. Like, Rebecca's my close personal friend. Like, it's not that serious.
I will take that job. I will say goodbye to all of you, and I will take the money. I'm just kidding. Competing is a strong word to say that Abby was already like primed to pick it. People reached out to you. You had a call. I got one text from Tommy asking for an email, and I haven't received one.
Oh.
Wait, you never got an email from them?
No, I haven't received a single email from anyone who is allegedly interested in me being some sort of co-host in the southeastern area.
This is not a competition. You're a spectator.
Yeah. I am like a third party person. I'm sitting in the cock chair of careers.
So like I'm Lionel Messi and you're like the water boy.
100%.
Oh my God.
Let's just like lay it all flat. You know, let's like look at the facts here. First of all, Abby's already a co-host. She is an on-air personality. My last job said we didn't hire you for your personality like multiple times.
Well, your development speaks for itself.
But that's my whole point is I say we're competing because I'm like, oh, Rebecca would be so good at this. I think you're so great at what you do that I saw you as a quote unquote competitor. Like I didn't put you in the box of like a third stringer. I was like, oh, me and Rebecca are going to have to fly out together and they're going to make us like do improv against each other. Oh, we're going to have to like mentally duke it out.
And you would win. It's so flattering. No, you are competition. I was never really afraid that they were going to go with me, the person with the speech impediment, for an on-air radio position. I thought they'd probably go for the person with tenure. Honestly, it kind of is, because I would not be the only person on radio with a speech impediment. It's kind of like a thing for like a couple different hosts.
You're so much cooler and more interesting than me. I'm just like a girl who grew up in the suburbs who has a hard time dating.
I just have green hair. That's it.
That goes a long way. But you're bisexual and you have niche trinket interests.
Allegedly.
Like cream on her pants right now.
It's paint.
Okay.
Yeah, these are my painter pants.
See? Do you have painter pants, Abby?
I had cat hair
point
on my
microphone. What for Rebecca?
I had cat hair on my microphone. I don't know. I was just kind of like, oh my God, like this is going to be... Well, at first then I thought it'd be so fun because sometimes for these jobs, they will like fly both of the people out if they're like not competing, but if they have multiple options. I'm like, maybe we can like have a sleepover. We can get a really like fun hotel in the downtown area and we can go in together. And they're like, aren't these two people like... Why do they seem so happy to be together? Like, there's only one position. But then I got all excited. I'm like, maybe they'll make two positions and then we could be on the show together.
One of you roofies the other ones that don't wake up in time for the interview.
Oh, my God.
Sabotage. Dude, sitcom, actually. Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, I'm flattered that, like, I was, like, you know, recommended in the same sort of realm as you. I was never super worried that I was going to get it. I love the city that it's in. So it did kind of pique my ear. Just a little bit. But yeah, cover's blown. We were never really in that big of competition. I honestly think it was Tommy, who does love me a lot, who has been sending me a ton of job listings.
That's very nice.
I think he said, what about Rebecca?
I see.
Put that little forward. And that's why I haven't gotten an email.
Well, Abby, have you heard back from them since this initial conversation?
So after that phone call, I got an email. They're like, hey, can you send all your stuff to Big Wig? Yoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. And so I sent
at gmail.com.
Off at gmail.com. And I sent off that email thinking like, well, cool, I'll hear from them in the next couple of days. And then it went radio silent.
Oh, wow.
I'm in other conversations and I'm up for other positions. So I was like, whatever. Like, it just wasn't meant to be. They found someone more cool and interesting rather than like this basic white girl from the Southeast. So it went totally radio silent. And then I randomly got an email from somebody within that company who's higher up than the person I had emailed. And I thought, oh, they probably want to call me to talk about this position. But then there was something else that was kind of lingering in the background, like another job. So I'm like, maybe it's about that. And so I tried to get on a call with this person and we just kept playing like phone tag. I was like, oh, call me here. And then they like missed the call. And then finally they're like, you know what? We're calling you at 1 p.m. on this day. So I finally get on a call thinking nothing of it, kind of honestly pissed off at this moment. They've been like sort of pushing me down the line all week long. So I'm not even taking it seriously. And so I get on a call with this person. It goes great. They listen to my stuff. They're like so excited. And so I'm supposed to hear from them next week about whether or not I'm still a candidate.
Sounds promising. Nice. Congratulations.
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, all these opportunities are exciting, but at the same time, it's like until you give me an offer, I'm off the market. You know what I mean? Like I'm not married to anything in my mind.
It is oddly the same as you're going on a bunch of dates right now.
That's what I mean.
And I keep getting ghosted.
Yeah. While we're on the topic of new jobs and searching for new jobs, how's it going for you, Rebecca?
Not great.
No. You are very far along in the process and they're just busy. They're trying to find so much money to give you because they know what you're worth. They're like, we have to scout for more investors so we can pay Rebecca.
Mikey and I kind of left the Burt Show thinking that we had something in the bag and it turned out we didn't.
Yeah, the big fancy thing in the bag. Turns out radio silence.
Wait, please let me tell this because I think this is so funny. So weeks ago, I'm like spiraling thinking like, oh my God, my career in radio is probably over. I don't know like what jobs are available. Bert gives me a batch of emails to one specific company and he was like, email all of these people. And I heard back from all of them except for one. And so I'm like, whatever, maybe I didn't need to hear from this person or whatever. Maybe they didn't get my email. I don't know, blah, 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 blah. So it's this one person that wouldn't get in contact with me that has to deal with like recruiting. So all of a sudden, we're in the back room one day during the Burt Show, and Mikey leans over to me, and he goes, I'll call her Jane Smith. He goes, Abby, do you know Jane Smith? She just followed me on Instagram and sent me a DM and offered me this job in Atlanta. I'm sitting here like sobbing every day thinking about, oh, I'm going to move to this city and this city and this. I have to get an email this person. And Mikey's like, yeah, this person's just like offering me a job to stay in Atlanta.
It felt so good.
Mikey, who like, already yeah, had a job after the show was ended okay, and did zero outreach, gets reached out to with an opportunity
the
from
zero
the person.
Outreach is real. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, you know what? To my credit, I still helped you make your check and everything. And then what happened with that scenario?
They said, you're the best. We need you over here. You're going to save the day. And then a week later, I'm like, hey, am I still wearing a cape? And they're like, yeah, except for we have too many superheroes already, but we're still going to see what happens. Then I asked for one more update. And then I was like, all right, if they reach out, they reach out. If not, I'll go feather my chicken or something. I don't know if that's a saying, but that sounds pretty good, right?
So you're a superhero and a farmer.
Yeah.
So how are you feeling about that? Like, are you dead set on staying in radio or are you looking at other gigs?
I'll do anything. I just need a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you have a job.
Yeah, you have a job.
Guys,
It's a part-time.
I get paid nothing. This is just filling up my days, truly.
Yeah.
This week, I'm going to get very serious about applying to jobs because last week, I was drunk and hungover the whole time.
Mm. Yeah, and I keep getting ghosted by... I'm not technically ghosted anymore because last week, they finally said, we're sorry that we haven't gotten back to you in like a couple of weeks because... Mm-hmm. Basically, I was in the third round of interviews with an organization I really like. It's a nonprofit. And I was really excited about the job because the person who reached out to me was the digital manager who would be hiring me and would be my boss because they heard my pitch on the Burt Show. So I said, I got it. Of course. Like, this is a shoo-in. Of course I'm going to get it. But three interviews later, I kind of haven't heard back for a while. They finally got back to me, said, you will hear back in like a week or two. So I'm hoping by Christmas we will hear something.
I think that's a good sign that they said anything at all.
I think so too. Because otherwise they'd just be like, yeah, we're moving on to find other candidates.
They would have either said no or getting ghosted is a very common thing for employers to do to people. And then they would have said nothing.
That's what I think too. I think it's positive that they said you're still in the loop. Because if it was a no, I think they wouldn't have said anything. They would have just waited until it was an actual no and said no.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm making connections. I'm talking to people. I'm networking. It's terrible. I'm so bad at
it. And to be fair, I don't think you put all your eggs in one basket. I think the chicken walked up to you and was like, hey, we would like to give you all these eggs. Yeah, you took the chicken's word for it. And you were like,
then you tripped and crushed the basket.
And then you're like, where'd all my eggs go?
Oh my God. The chicken scammed me.
The chicken did scam you.
Well, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, guys, because I started my new job last week, and it was a long week. To be fair, if timing this on top of our poor tour was
big time.
Ill-timed, but obviously we had things kind of in the works before I knew when I was starting. And it's really hard to compare any new job to what we were doing before this, you know?
Yeah.
The Burt Show was a lot of fun, just plain and simple, every day. Waking up early definitely had its downsides, but I think that the amount of fun and what we got to do every day made up for that entirely.
I think that's why we were all sad, not necessarily just because like the show was ending, but A, we're not going to get to see our friends every day, which is sad. But B, also we were all like, do we all have to get real jobs
now?
Yeah, it's also tough to complain to three people actively looking for employment.
Well, that's why I was... that's exactly why I caveated this with saying that the grass isn't always greener because... Yeah. You know, truthfully, it definitely feels very different. And also going to a fully remote job where, again, you're not seeing everyone every day. I'm a big proponent of hanging out with coworkers and doing that. Don't have any of that now.
You're a schmoozer.
I tend to be, and it's hard to do that over Zoom.
Can we say this? Everybody answer honestly.
Okay.
It maybe it was just because of the amount of drinks I had. By day number four, I was sick of every one of you. Is that true or is that false?
You told me that to my face.
I said, Rebecca, I am sick of you.
Some things we don't need to say out loud.
I know that Jackson's on the same page. No, and
really?
I think
I wasn't.
You literally on Friday came up to me. You're like, oh, I didn't see you the whole night. Like, bye. And I was like, yeah.
I guess I was less sick of you guys. I just hung out with Jackson for like 6 hours a day, every single day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to see this guy anymore.
I honestly wasn't sick of it. I was just tired. Just point blank.
I think that I was just tired.
It didn't have anything to do with anyone in particular. I was just like, I wanted my work day to end and for me to rot on the couch for 3 hours and then go to bed.
Yeah.
I didn't want to like
get
off my last call and then immediately get ready. And then Monday, Tuesday, sit in a car for an hour in traffic going to these things, you know? So that was the tough thing for me for sure.
I was not sick of seeing you guys. I was excited to see you guys.
Nice. Well, then I'm a big.
You are.
Well, okay. I've always had this though. Like I can hang out with one friend for like an hour a week and then I'm like I can't see you anymore.
We maxed that out completely.
Yeah. It was just my social drive or whatever got depleted.
By the end of Friday I was like I am glad this was really really fun, but I am a little glad that it's over. So many full sugar cokes.
But we did what we needed to do. We got the job done.
Pioneer.